The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel. Kranak is taking a breather today. Bless his heart. We are loaded up. Lots to talk about. Lots to get into. It's been a busy week. We'll spend some time to start off this morning on Maurice Washington. Kind of roundtable that thing and put our best Nebraska hat on and UB Scott Frost with this decision looming. We can talk Nebraska baseball as that coaching search continues by Mr. Moose, and excited for this first hour. The Rewind will feature two big-time baseball insiders, Jabba Chamberlain and Matt Schick, this hour. Next hour, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, going to be with us. We'll spend some time talking Big Red with Brandon. And then the Iron Horse, one of my favorite people, Gary Sharp, going to be with us at 8:30. You can jump in and join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com and give us a follow or send us a tweet. At Schmidt underscore radio, Chris Schmidt. At Two Birds, One Stone with Colton Stone and Elijah Erbel at Erbel Essence. So, quick update, because I know you all give a damn. The Lincoln A's off to a rousing start in the 12-under tournament this weekend. Junior was on the hill last night. There's a lot of things I love in life, but I love watching my little guy pitch. I know I give him crap on the air, and maybe I'm not the best role model, but watching him go a complete game last night was fantastic, especially since it was batting practice the last time he went out. He was awesome. Good little guy. Got caught up with the team last night. Some of us had 2 pounds of grilled wings that are winning the battle this morning. So it was a great Friday night. Colton, Elijah, thanks for covering yesterday. Golf outing, we didn't win the Lincoln Orthopedic Open. We didn't have Jay Moore on the squad. Not to knock who was on the squad, but we were a little short yesterday, so no back-to-back golf tournament titles for me and the crew this week. But bigger picture topics, as it is June, it is college football talking season, and we're about 8 weeks or a little less from Media Days getting kicked off in Chicago, and football being here. And the big discussion point, one of a few, between Nebraska baseball and the upcoming recruiting camps that are going to be in Lincoln, is what you do with personnel, specifically Maurice Washington. And I heard a little bit of Jacob Padilla yesterday with you guys, and I thought, we know Jacob's phenomenal at what he does. But really enjoy his story on HailVarsity.com when it comes to Maurice Washington and padding the stats. And let's go there with what is kind of on the docket. You've got another court appearance coming up very soon for Maurice Washington in relation to the charges pending in California. And you had an incident Tuesday with Maurice Washington at his dorm room with marijuana and UNL PD being called to his room with odor of marijuana emanating. And that's such an underrated word, emanating. You can almost paint it in your mind, right? And cited for possession of drug paraphernalia. So the big talking point is, you can get into the bigger picture on, well, how serious and should it be legal? Is it legal? No. I mean, that's a macro discussion. But you have team rules. You have guidelines set. You have a guy that's already in trouble. You have a guy that worked to become eligible at the last moment for Nebraska. I don't know Maurice Washington. I have not interviewed Maurice Washington. I know Maurice, and just from some sources I've checked with. I mean, the guy's not had an easy life. That is not an excuse at all to disobey rules and kind of fall out of line. So if you're Scott Frost, what do you do? Is this the straw, the possession of paraphernalia? It may be out of Coach Frost's hands legally with what moves forward in California. But the bigger discussion point is how would you treat this if you're Nebraska football, if you're the head coach, and if you got a guy that's clearly talented, okay, and a big-time asset on the field. And what comes to my mind with Maurice Washington is the skill part. Well, why are you putting up with all of this, first and foremost? It's because of what the guy can do on the field on a third and eight. What can the guy do on a second and three on a zone read to the outside? How multidimensional is he running the football and catching the football? These are all reasons that made coaches across the country's eyes light up, and two guys were in the race. Nebraska won the race to get him to play college football, sticking with him, being supportive of him with what baggage he may have had pre-college, okay? So you have a guy you really kill yourself for to get here because he is an athlete and a playmaker and a difference maker you need so you're not getting beat 42-24 to Wisconsin. So it may go the other way on you at the buzzer against Iowa. When it comes to Ohio State, I mean, you're talking about an athlete and a player of the caliber that are guys that end up at Michigan or at Ohio State or are stockpiled at Oregon, okay? So just from a facts of life standpoint, you want a better football program, you want more wins, you get talent like a Maurice Washington. Now, how far are you willing to go to put up with missteps associated with that talent? And when it comes to a decision, and if for whatever reason things get pled down or Maurice gets lesser charges or things are dropped, whatever happens legally in California, if he's cleared to play, you now have to tackle this paraphernalia thing. And it comes down to maturity, it comes down to judgment, it comes down to decision making. And Mo's one of these guys early in his career at Nebraska that you've had to stay kind of on top of, you feel like. Mm-hmm. Just when it comes to what's his level of maturity, what's his level of understanding, has he grown up? And it doesn't look like it right now. Some guys take longer than others to mature. Do you have buddies in high school that, man, you love doing, but maybe they're in their 30s now and they're still crushing the bars on Wednesday night? I mean, really, yeah. Just as an example, I mean, at what point do you kind of say, man, I need to be better and grow up? And if you're Scott Frost, I look at this as, yeah, I mean, Scott Frost wants to win. Nebraska wants to win. But I don't, if Maurice Washington stays on this football team, it isn't going to be because of what I laid out here of what he can do against a outside linebacker in the slot that I was trying to cover him with. Or it's not going to be because of, you know, what mismatch he can pose against flex defense or what Wisconsin's got up their sleeve or when Ohio State comes to town in late September. He is an asset and he is a difference maker, but Nebraska is going to have other options, okay? They'll find another Maurice Washington, talent-wise, okay? Mm-hmm. But Scott Frost is a lot like Coach Osborne in the instance of he's caring about the kid versus the results the kid can bring. And I think ultimately, if Maurice Washington stays on this team, I'm not saying there won't be an extended punishment. I don't know this, but just speculating, I don't know that there's not going to be a suspension. I mean, everything's on the table from a disciplinary standpoint. And who knows how many missteps Maurice Washington has had. Maybe he's just had these two. I don't know. But it's too many, right, with a guy that it was a long, long process to get him here, okay? So if I'm Scott Frost, you can bet your money that he's going to do what Scott Frost is feels best for the kid. And I respect that, and I will support that. If it's dismissal time, then, hey, dude, you've given the guy a lot of chances. You've got a bigger picture to look at from a team culture standpoint. Or maybe Maurice Washington's the type of guy that needs to be surrounded by more of the Adrian Martinez's or the Hymas's or the Mowberry's or the Lamar Jackson's, guys that really do care about football but care about being good, productive citizens. And who's to say Maurice Washington can't become that someday? Who's to say that maybe, okay, this was a low point? I'm not making excuses. I'm just laying it out there. He needs more good around him. And if you take this atmosphere away from him, what's he left with? Does he snap out of it finally and go somewhere else and learn from it? Or does he continue to spiral down where maybe there won't be the love and support around him? I don't know that the guy needs to play football in 2019, period, for Nebraska. But I think he needs to be a part of the program and a part of the university, if allowed to be, and really work on him and grow up and come back at it clean. I think that's the options I'd put on the table there for Maurice Washington. The talent's fantastic. He is a difference maker, but this is a bigger conversation about Maurice Washington and just where he needs to go with the next 20 years of his life. That'll be important here with Nebraska, Coach Frost, and whatever decisions made. Because I just forget the dual threat ability of him for a minute and get into what's Maurice Washington going to do with the rest of his life? How important is football in this equation to Washington having a successful life, not just athletic career? So I'm interested to see where Nebraska goes, what happens, and Maurice Washington's a guy that you'd love to have, but you don't have to have. But I think he might have to have this program.
Well, I think, and Jacob and I were talking about this yesterday, it's take away the California situation, and not that we'd be sweeping this under the rug, but it'd be kind of like a talking point. But
it's a maturity question, though. Yeah. I mean, you're getting ready for summer workouts, fellas.
Yeah.
Where are you at when it comes to your dedication to the team? And I get it, man. I get guys want to cut loose and be young and be in college and go have a hell of a good time. But there are different – you got to kind of pick your spots with it.
In your dorm room? Like, come on.
Yeah, I still have an issue with that, too. But that's just me.
You guys are in your 20s, all right? You tell me. Apartment, dorm room, fraternity, whatever. I mean, how I don't get let out of the house to go troll the dorm rooms and fraternities anymore by the lovely wife. You tell me, is this another Thursday night down on campus? Is Mo any different than any other student? I'm not defending the action. I'm just asking the question because it is illegal. You want to go to, you know, Lodo and green up? It's legal to do. It isn't legal in Nebraska.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is like it's not that out of the ordinary.
Right.
So, again, not that that's an excuse that it should be okay.
You guys both come in with Funyuns on your breath every morning. I mean, I'm just kidding.
But that's the thing. Is like you go to any dorm room, and if you find the right group of people that aren't smart enough to open
Colton's,
a win-
Colton's air quoting it, the right.
I guess maybe the wrong group of people that don't open a window or burn some popcorn or something. You're gonna catch a whiff as you're walking.
Drug camouflage 101 with Colton Stowe.
It's only 7:20.
Well, this is not 4:20.
But that's the thing. Is like I'm not like surprised that it's anybody else.
It can happen to any student on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it rampant? Is it 50-50?
I would
say. How many stone cheetah monkeys are down on campus?
I would say most people are smarter than doing it in their dorm room.
Okay.
There's people in the dorms that are there to catch you doing that.
Right.
It's their job to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people are smart enough to go find a better location.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I question it is, I mean, it was a late night, but yeah, why are you doing it in your dorm room?
And I question doing it at all because of the timing of your situation with California, clearly, and then your what's your dedication level for summer workouts?
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, is because
are you making a call here selfishly? Yes. Are you helping the team? No. Now you get maybe slow time a month, and guess what? It's Maurice Washington week.
He might be trying to put on weight. Maybe he's just trying to be hungry. I don't know.
I don't think that's part of these active all workout program.
No, probably not. I don't think you look at anybody else. I don't think that is part of the regimen. But, yeah, I don't know. That's where it is. It's a maturity and dedication thing, because you could as easily say, like, you know, it wasn't an actual possession charge, but add in the fact that we still don't know what's looming in California, and it's hard to look at it and go, this is okay. I'm okay with this situation, and I think that's the same with the administration too.
It's one more kick, one more strike, one more distraction, one more headache for Coach Frost, and if he makes the decision, or if the decision is made by the courts that this guy's got to go somewhere for a while, then so be it. That's the legal process. If it's up to Frost keeping him on the team, giving him some goals to work towards to be reinstated, I'm okay with that. And it doesn't turn into a win at all cost thing. I think it's an actual Coach Frost bases program on love. That's the basement that's been poured here with his program. He loves his kids. And he wants to do whatever he can for them, but he also wants them to be great human beings, okay? And if there's a situation where you're not playing, but you're still on the team, we're not going to completely turn our back on you. I mean, it's too easy to do that. And it might be time for some tough love. Mm-hmm. But you can also give some tough love out when it comes to, dude, you're a mess. Get it together. We'll be here for you. You got to take some own responsibility and show some maturity on your end. But you want to be here. That's the other part of it. How important is it to Maurice Washington? He's got to look in the mirror right now after all of this and go, where am I at? And then you can choose whatever road you want to go down. But if you don't take advantage of this opportunity, man, you'll have regrets. And it isn't about getting to the NFL. It's not about getting paid to play. It's about just getting set up for the rest of your life academically, maturity-wise, and just growing up. We'll get into some baseball thoughts as Bill Moos still trying to find Darren Erstad's replacement. We'll get thoughts from Brandon Vogel on that. I want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. And you know what? A good spot for you and your kids. Madonna Proactive. The summer starts with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road in Lincoln. And it's a wonderful facility. Great workout options inside, but also outdoors. They have the pool resort, the Proactive Pool. If it's hot outside, go cool off with the pool and make Proactive part of your summer destination plans. You join by June 15th and get $50 savings off a summer membership. Was out of the pool this week. Lots of fun kids. Very refreshing and an amazing setup. Schedule a tour today with Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000. Numbers to get in there. Or madonnaproactive.org. Can jump online and check out what they have. But be a part of that summer destination with the Proactive Pool. Get signed up by June 15th and get $50 savings off your summer membership. Off and running, 7:25 on your Saturday weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Jabba Chamberlain coming up. Matt Schick on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
Back to you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with a Husker baseball standout, a World Series champion. Loves the Husker program. Jabba Chamberlain joining us on the show. Jabba, it's been a while. How are things with you, man?
Good. Just chasing a teenager around and trying not to get too many gray hairs, as we all know as parents that sometimes that happens. But other than that, man, just enjoying time and being home and being a dad and just enjoying everything that comes along with it.
That's kind of the theme, isn't it, being a dad? And you were where when you heard the Darren Erstad news?
Actually was just sitting at my bar and literally had a buddy was like, holy crap, Darren just stepped down, and kind of was taken back. I really the position that they were in this year was kind of obviously one of where we wanted to be, and then kind of to see where it was going to go from there with all the young talent that we have, and then to see it happen. I mean, it was interesting, to say the least.
It was, and this team really surged, Jabba. You look at the Michigan series, the Arizona State series, right there against Ohio State, and of course, an out away against Oklahoma State down at Bricktown, a ballpark you know well and performed well at with your trips for the Huskers and the Big 12. And what's your reaction to what Darren did, stepping down to be with his kids? And my little guy is, I don't think, too much younger than your little guy, and there's been some crossover with the Erstad family as far as playing youth sports. So he's a proud Papa, man. We all are watching our kids, and I commend him for it, but he's also such a competitor, man. It was just out of nowhere. It was a bombshell.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it through 8 years and all the things that he's done, you know, had a long career in the big leagues, and it's just, I mean, sometimes you make decisions, whether it's maybe not the easiest thing to do, but it's the best thing to do, and, you know, obviously you're not going to truly understand. But at the same time, if that's what he says is you got to respect for the things that he's done and the fact that he understands that he's missed a lot of time and been gone for a lot of things, and that he just wants to be there and be a father. And he doesn't have anything else to prove here. I mean, he's a stand-up man. He's a great coach. He's a great human being. And it's just for us as fans of the program and people that are valued to it, it's tough because we're losing a good one. And it's kind of the fear of the unknown of what's going to happen, which I think is what makes people, you know, semi-skeptical about what's going on. But it's just, we're losing a great human, a great coach, I mean, a great competitor, and it's just tough.
Jabba Chamberlain's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jabba, what was clicking with your time at Nebraska? What was kind of the common bond that took teams from, okay, the late 90s, early 2000 Van Horn era to the transition with Anderson and Childress, where you guys not only maintained but thrived and kept that train a rolling? And that's, the Nebraska fan base, man, you love them. That said, the expectations are sky high. Let's do that every year. Well, it's not easy to get to Omaha, you know. So how were you guys able to do what you did?
I think it was just the guys we had. I mean, you look at that group, and the main core was kids from Nebraska, kids from Lincoln, Omaha, Grand Island. And I think that was just that's a huge part of what that program was. I mean, obviously you have people at the helm that are great leaders and teachers of the game. And we had unbelievable coaching staff. But I think it was just, we bought into what they were teaching, and we understood that they expect a lot from us. Not only did they expect a lot on the field, they expected a lot off the field. And I think it just carried over into every facet of what we did. And I mean, you look at it, at the end of the year, we had 52 wins or something like that. And granted, we didn't finish where we wanted to, but that's a lot of wins. And it was fun, it was interesting, and we had a blast together. But I think it was just the understanding of what was expected, and they expected a lot from us, and we expected a lot from ourselves, and there was never finger pointing, there was nothing, because we knew that we had the guy behind us and next to us to either execute a pitch, get us an out, drive a guy over. And I think that was just a part of what we took through and through and everything that we did.
What do you think Nebraska baseball needs to be in 2019, in 2020, in the Big Ten?
I mean, obviously, we should be a powerhouse. I feel like that's, you know, what we can be, where we've been before. But at the same time, it's a big step, obviously, now, because we're empty at the head of the train. And just to get, I mean, with so many guys that we have that are talented, they've got a taste of winning, which I think as a competitor and those kids have that taste, I think they want to go even further. They want to be even better than they are. So it's bringing in somebody that understands these kids. And first and foremost is that conversation needs to happen with these kids and understand it's like, hey, I'm here for you guys. This is what needs to be done. You let me know what I need to do, and let's get this train going, and let's get back to where this program needs to be.
Let's spend some time on Coach Rob Childress, and he is fantastic. He's been fantastic at A&M. He was amazing at Nebraska. Talk to me about the development aspect to him, how he can get the best out of kids. And I don't know if his name is realistic or not. I'll get to that with you in a minute. But just from a coaching and development standpoint, he was incredible.
I mean, I would hope it's realistic. But that's just me being biased to what Rob has done for me. And Rob's biggest thing for me, honestly, was I was a kid that didn't pitch a lot. I didn't really know what I was doing. And he understood that. And I think his greatest treasure as a coach was understanding each player and what we needed. And it was a thing where all he asked us to do was to go out and compete. And I think, honestly, I maybe worked specifically on my mechanics one time during the year just because I wasn't a huge mechanics guy, and he knew that. And the understanding of what he did, and as I look back, is just, he just taught me to, it didn't matter if you had your best stuff, if you had your worst stuff, if you go out and give everything that you got, you're going to be successful. And I just, his demeanor was awesome. He expected a lot from us, and all he did was expect us to work hard. Like, I don't care how much talent you have, whether you have a talent in your pinky finger or you're incredibly talented, it doesn't take much to work hard. And I think that's the thing that I will always take from him and every aspect of my life, and understanding that it doesn't take much to work hard. And it made me the pitcher I was, and obviously I was fortunate enough to do it at the highest level, and he definitely has a lot to do with that.
A mindset and a standard, and he laid it out there for you. With Coach Childress, I don't have an official number what he's making at A&M. I know Will Bolt's down there, and Will's a guy that gets Nebraska, was not long ago on staff at Nebraska. Sealy's a name you hear. There's other power programs, or really good programs, that may be in some non-power five leagues. So, I mean, there's a laundry list of names out there for the Nebraska job, and Bill Moose is 2-for-2 on hires. What are your thoughts on Childress here? And I'm not asking you to speak for him, but I'm just kind of trying to gauge your take, knowing the man, on would a guy like Childress leave in A&M for a little bit more cake and back to a place he helped build?
I mean, that's a super loaded question, and would I love to answer for him 100%?
Well, why don't you go ahead and be Coach Childress for 2 minutes here, Jabba?
Right. All right. Well, here we go. Then I would sign and leave today. No, it's something you've obviously seen what he's done at A&M. You've seen the tradition that he's built there. And obviously being a guy from Texas is something special to him. I mean, obviously everybody that knows, you know, what he stands for as a family man and everything that he has. Obviously his daughter graduated from Nebraska and, you know, certain things like that. And like I said, I'm biased and I would love to answer for him. And I would love to have him here. I just think there's so many things that point in the right direction to bring him back. And like you said, we don't really know his number or what that is. And as we've seen what Moose has done is he's hired guys that are right for this program. And I think in that aspect, I think he's going to look in a direction that makes the most sense for our entire athletic program. And we've seen what he's done and obviously in the two major signings and Scott and Fred, and just understanding what it means to the fan base, what it means to this state, what it means to the program. It's for me, it's something where you know, we try and see what happens and go from there. And if that's not the direction that Rob wants to go, then, you know what, we look in a different direction. But I think it's something that needs to be addressed in the aspect of knowing what Nebraska wants, knowing what Nebraska needs, and know how much this state and the people care for this program and want to see them at the highest level that we can be.
Will Bolt, did you have any crossover with him at all?
A little bit, obviously, as a fan watching him play.
And right.
A grinder and understanding the game. And he's one of those guys that, you know, worked hard at his craft and obviously has become a great aspect of the coaching world. And that's obviously another direction you go to where he understands the tradition of what it is. And it's another point of interest where, you know, we have to take all things in capacity of what sense of direction do we want to go? Where do they want to go and go from there? And I mean, I just think there's a lot of certain candidates that obviously you read the Twitter and you read all the other stuff. So you kind of see some names and understand that, you know, there's obviously interest in what we do. So it'll be a compelling topic of conversation here for a while.
Well, and I don't know the timeline as to when you can go get it done. Is it a week from today? Are we having a press conference with the new baseball coach? Is it Thursday? Is it, I mean, A&M got eliminated. Are you, and you nailed it. I mean, Coach Childress is a Texas guy and Will Bolt's a Texas guy, and they've got a big piece of their life in Nebraska. Do they leave what they've got? Is 12, 13 years at A&M for Childress enough? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's more of a wish versus a reality right now with either of those guys. The end being the fact that they've bled for the program for a number of years up here.
And I mean, I think you're right. It's a big part of what they have done in their career, but at the same time, it's what's best for them and their family as well. I mean, there's so much that goes into this that some people forget sometimes where, you know, you're literally moving your family and you're changing the dynamic of your wife and the kids and the school and just your comfort. I mean, yes, it can be a place where it's been a part of you, but at the same time, it's been a number of years where that changes. And that comes a question when they sit down and whoever the candidate is, you know, is this place worth it? And I mean, me speaking personally, 100%. I mean, it's a special program. It's a special place. It's a bond where everybody roots for everybody. I don't care if you're the swimming team, the soccer team, the softball team, whatever it is, you know, it's just kind of a place where we cheer for everybody because that's what we rely on and that's what we love. And, you know, we bleed red here. And, you know, when you say you're from Nebraska, it holds a special tie. And I think that title comes as a head coach that I don't think the guys that we're going to talk to are going to take lightly and understand what that means.
Jabba Chamberlain with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jabba, I'll let you get out of here, but I've always wanted to ask you this. And I remember watching the Nebraska-Texas game at a tavern, and it's the final kind of drumbeat of the Callahan era, and Nebraska's annihilating Texas. You're on the sideline with Roger Clemens. Nebraska's rolling. ABC catches you on the sideline, and you, like the rest of Nebraska fans, are smiling because it's going well. The fourth quarter with Jamal Charles did not go well. Did you have a side wager with Rocket? I mean, sometimes guys from different programs bet. If not, no worries. But I got to ask, man. I've always wanted – and you got McConaughey there going, all right, behind you guys. I mean, that's a moment I've always wanted. You're a big football fan. Didn't go Nebraska's way that day. But how much guff did you give each other through that thing?
Oh, well, it was great for the first three quarters.
No kidding, it was.
Awesome. And remember going down there, and that was the first time I'd met Matthew. And so we're walking the sidelines doing whatever. And, you know, obviously it's a friendly wager bet of, you know, who's buying dinner tonight, right, or whatever. Obviously I lost the bet, but Roger still didn't let me buy dinner. So I guess I still won in the end of the day.
That's pretty good. Well, good for Roger.
Right.
Well, Man, that one was tough to take. But I had to ask, man, because they were sweating for three quarters.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a fun day. The atmosphere and going down there, and obviously, you know, just being in that realm of Texas, and obviously the battles that we had in baseball, we kind of
right.
we built some rivalry there. But I'd never been to a game down there, and holy cow, it wasn't Memorial Stadium, I'll tell you that much, but it was pretty close. And to see all the Nebraska fans there, it was fun. And obviously getting a walk with Roger and talk some crap for a little bit was pretty interesting for me too.
Well, and I'll tell you this, my time down in Austin was 99, very painful game, but Texas still has some of the most beautiful people on earth. We'll leave it there. So.
Yes, I won't disagree on that one.
Jabba Chamberlain. Jabba, we'll do this again, man. It was fun to catch up. Thanks for the time today.
Jermaine, you got it, buddy. Anytime.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone, find follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at Hail Varsity. As always, joining me is ESPN's Matt Schick. Find him, follow him on Twitter at @ESPN_Schick. Matt, you've had your finger on the pulse as far as baseball goes. How you been, and how's the weather out east?
Well, things are going good. It wouldn't really matter how hot the weather is. I'm cleaning out the garage today, which is always a fun chore to do, especially when you have four kids ages 3 to 8. You're not getting a lot of help. You're the only grown adult male in the residence. And so I'm just soldiering on here. It's my cross to bear.
Well, at some point, the kids got to, you know, learn what their chores around the house are. I mean, eight's almost, that's a good age to start getting them into the chores.
I mean, I'm trying. I actually, just yesterday, we got them to attempt to wheel the garbage bin and the recycle bin down to the curb, and needless to say, I had to step in. But, you know, it's cleaning out the garage with their help is interesting, because then they see things that I'm trying to not have them see. You know, I used to collect things, and I don't anymore, but they found some unopened Star Wars toys, so I had to open them for them. And, I mean, this whole process is just costing me money. It really is.
Oh, well, you know, that's what kids will do to you, you know. Matt Schick on Hail Varsity Radio. Matt, most recent news, this came down on Monday, kind of a surprise to everybody, Nebraska. And you would have been, if I remember correctly, timeline-wise, leaving Nebraska shortly after Erstad would have been hired as the head baseball coach. What do you remember about Darren Erstad, and are you kind of surprised by this move as he stepped down on Monday?
Well, I remember when he was hired, and there was a lot of excitement, and okay, here we go, Osmond's going to hit a home run here, pun absolutely intended. And then you kind of hit the reality of what Nebraska baseball is and what it's become, and there seems to be a pretty consistent ceiling about what they're able to do, and they just don't have the pitching depth. They're one of the northern schools. They don't play in the Big 12 anymore, and so there's only so much a coach can do. I thought he did fine. He never took them to where he hoped to and where Husker fans thought he could. But when the news came down, my wife told me, she said, "Did you hear about Erstad?" And I had no clue. So I'm sure it took everyone by surprise. But then when you think about it, okay, 45 years old, I think we're coming to this point where we're seeing coaches decide to leave early rather than stay too late. You know, Bob Stoops did it, you know, a couple of years ago. And I think it might be becoming a trend where people go, look, I don't want to die on the field. I don't want to look back and go, man, I wish I had, no one on their deathbed is going to say, man, I wish I worked more than I did. You know, it's always going to be, I wish I spent more time with my kids. I wish I didn't miss this or that. And so to have that perspective now is great. And I think, you know, 6-8 years, that's a pretty healthy timeline to try and get something done. And if you don't, then pass the baton. So I think it's going to be good for Nebraska baseball in the long run. I think it's a program that isn't necessarily a sleeping giant. I wouldn't go that far. But I think it's a team that could be, you know, in a super regional every 3 years.
Matt Schick with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Matt, one more thought here on Nebraska baseball before we move on. A lot of names floating around is, you know, you look at the job that Bill Moose has done. He's gone out since October 17th. He's hired Scott Frost, the
the one that everybody wanted as far as Nebraska football goes. And then you fast forward a little bit, Tim Miles out the door, he hires Fred Hoiberg, and now he's set to hire a baseball coach, and no one was ready for that. No one thought that's what he'd be doing at the end of this season. So a lot of names are floating around, you know, the Rob Childresses, the Will Bolts. If they've got a Nebraska tie, put them on the list, put them on the board. But are there any names that have been out there that could be a fast track to Nebraska as either taking this as a bigger job or stepping back and trying to almost put their own legacy on it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because the first name that popped up when it happened, there were two names. One was Rob Childress and the other was Will Bolt. Rob Childress, I talked to him about 3 weeks ago for a game I was doing. I called A&M in Alabama. And, you know, he just had a daughter graduate in Nebraska. I believe it was high school at Southwest, I believe. And he comes back all the time, you know, to hunt at least once a year. And so, he loves it in Nebraska. And then, you know, could you, you know, I kind of know how they feel about Childress too at A&M, which is they like him. I don't know if they appreciate him. I don't think they will until he gets a win or two in Omaha. And, you know, I think he's been there with them twice. And I believe they're 0-4, if my memory serves. But there are always coaches that are looking to hit the reset button. And, you know, if you could somehow say, hey, Childress, you come down and Will Bolt, you're the coach in waiting. Or you look at Bolt by himself because he's paid his dues. That would be something. You know, you try and think about teams that, you know, have made it to not necessarily the College World Series, but made it to the NCAA tournament, maybe made it to a super regional. It's hard to know, like a Dallas Baptist head coach, you know, Dan Heathcote, would he be interested, you know, in coming to Nebraska? What do you do there? There are a lot of guys that are just pretty entrenched with where they are that it can be a challenge to try and pluck them from anywhere. It's not like you're going to say, hey, Tim Corbin, you want to come from Vanderbilt to Nebraska? It's like, you know, that's just not
right.
That's just probably not going to happen. So I think you make the call to A&M. I think you try and pluck one or two of those guys and then see what happens. It's got to be a name that drums up some excitement. I'm not sure if Bill Moose would want to go back in time to Childress, but I think if he understands, you know, kind of what coaching ability is and recruiting is and what a success looks like, I think that's where I would look, Childress or Will Bolt. But it'd be interesting to see what he does. It'd be interesting to see who, you know, what calls he makes.
Matt Schick with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Matt, looking at the Super Regionals, some interesting matchups. A lot of one seeds moving on, so names that we aren't so that we are so familiar with. But you almost had UCLA lose to Loyola Marymount. They had to win a if necessary game. Both of the Georgia teams that were top 10 seeds going into it are out. Duke sneaks out of West Virginia's regional. What was the most surprising thing in the regionals to you?
I think the most surprising thing was just how Florida State absolutely hammered Georgia. I thought maybe Florida State might be able to get out of there and, you know, play for the win one for the Gipper, you know, Mike Martin's last hurrah. But I didn't think they'd do it like that. I mean, what they score 35 runs in three games?
Yes.
I mean, that's
something crazy.
That's obscene. So them able to do that to me was probably the most impressive, and that's probably the best in terms of storylines, the most compelling super regional. I mean, Mike Martin having to go into Alec Box Stadium and face Paul Menary and LSU and 10,000 plus to get to a College World Series and hope to win it for the final time. I mean, that's a storybook type of deal. Outside of that, I mean, Nebraska, the way they lost was jarring. It's not like you go into Oklahoma City and expect to win that regional, but you had to like their chances, and then they fell off the cliff and didn't have enough pitching to back it up, and mentally they just had to be shot. Watching Oregon State flame out was surprising. Not that they didn't make it out of the regional, but just that they didn't win a game and looked fairly flat. I thought Creighton handled themselves pretty well, despite going down. So, you know, I'll be interested to see how Michigan handles UCLA. And going back to A&M, Duke. I'm looking forward to seeing how Duke handles Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Because Duke is one of those teams that had the experience last year. They go into Athens and win the regional last year. Then they go into Morgantown, and that was a frenzied atmosphere, and they go in and win that regional. And now you got a little ACC-SEC test there. I just don't think that anybody is going to be able to touch Vanderbilt. They are a class above everybody else, with Kumar and Raby starting on the mound, and J.J. Blade. I mean, there's just Martin. Fonte is just a lot of experience and a lot of guys that can hit you. And so, to me, it looks like a Vanderbilt College World Series. I think it'd be a major upset if Vanderbilt doesn't get to Omaha and doesn't get to at least the championship series.
Matt Schick with us, Hail Varsity Radio, just a few more minutes. Matt, I wanted to go back to Mike Martin. I was actually, last night, was doing research on Mike Martin because, you know, kind of the last hurrah. It's been the 16 World Series in 40 years. This being his 40th year, and has just finished as a runner-up two times, and not on this side of the century. What would that mean to Florida State for in their last attempt at it, and kind of, I don't want to say limping into the regionals, but kind of needing a little help at the end? What would that mean to that program to get him one?
I think it would mean just as much to Florida State as it would to college baseball. You know, what he has meant to the sport is analogous to what Omaha means to the College World Series. I mean, he's an icon. I mean, think about the fact that 1975, he's hired as an assistant coach for $2,000. And then, you know, 44 years later, he's got more than 2,000 wins. It is... You know, any guy that's known by his jersey number, you refer to him as 11. Think about that. Look, he's got now, they've got 39 wins on the year. 39 wins. Yeah. One more, and that makes it 43 consecutive seasons of 40 or more wins. I mean, that to me, outside of Omaha trips, Super Regionals, even a national championship, think about the consistency. You know, that to me is more impressive than the number of consecutive 9-win seasons Nebraska had in football. I mean, that is a challenge. And to be able to keep that up and with this team, probably extend that streak if they can sneak one out at LSU, that's something. And I hope Mike Martin, I hope they do it. I hope they get to Omaha. I hope they win it. I think it would be, if he gets to Omaha, that will be the story of the College World Series. And if they win it, it will be one of the greatest stories that Omaha and the CWS has ever seen.
ESPN's Matt Schick. Last thought here, about 60 seconds, Matt. Nebraska travels to Colorado this year. I remember we talked about it about the same time last year. Any chance to get out to Boulder? And what is your very early prediction of that matchup? I know Colorado's got a new head coach, and then Frost going into year two.
Yeah, I was hoping to get out there. Doing some radio on the side with ESPN, and so I don't know that I'll get out there. I will push them as hard as I can. I want to be a stringer. I'll just call in with live updates because the memories I have of that matchup, especially in Boulder, are, you know, that's when I was still a fan. I thought Colorado would beat Nebraska last year simply because it was week two and it wound up being week one for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I thought you had to catch Nebraska early, and Colorado was doing that. So I was right on that. This one is a little more puzzling to me because you got a lot of returning players for Colorado, but you have a new head coach. You got LaVisca Chenault, and you've got, you know, a pretty good quarterback, yet you got some new coaches. So to me, that gives Nebraska an edge. I think it's a field goal game. I say probably Nebraska wins it simply because of year two and the momentum, and it won't be week one of the season for them. So I'll say Nebraska goes in and win, but it's, you know, flip a coin and see what it comes up.
Matt Schick, ESPN. Find him. You'll be doing a little more bases loaded on the app, I'm assuming.
No more bases loaded. Bases loaded is done for the year. It's just studio wraps this weekend, but I'm not a part of that either. So I am I'm going to kick my feet up and enjoy and finish cleaning my garage. That'll probably take me through the College World Series.
Find him on Twitter at ESPN_Schick. Matt, enjoy your time off. We'll do this again. Thanks for jumping on.
Good to catch up with you, buddy. Anytime. Thanks.
Hour two coming up.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, it's Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. Give us all a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_Radio, at Two Birds, One Stone, at Herbal Essence, and for sure follow this man, read him with HailVarsity.com, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Get his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. And Vogues is getting things ready to send off to the printer for the Hail Varsity yearbook. Vogues, we love summertime, man. It's barbecue and baseball and sunshine. But there's also this waiting game for college football to kick back up. I want to get your thoughts here to start out with just the enormity of this year's Hail Varsity yearbook. We'll get into football and baseball and Maurice and all of that good stuff, but brother, have you seen the sunlight in a while? And you're hunkered down in the Vogel bunker getting football goodness ready for all of Husker Nation. How are you?
I'm doing well. It has been a while since I've seen the sunlight. And this thing goes to press on Wednesday. So I've got another couple of total blackout days ahead. But we're getting there. I'm really encouraged. People that have seen the yearbook in the past, I think, have come to know what to expect at this point. And I think we make it a little bit better each year. This year, I'm really excited about sort of the feature stories that we have in this magazine. I think it's our best compliment yet of stories. You know, we touch on a lot of different bases there. So I'm excited, especially for people to see that part. The photos, again, really turned out great this year. So I think people will like what they see there too.
So last year there was the artistry with the cover of Frost. Yeah. You're going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, right? As you hang up on me with who's on the cover this year.
Well, I can give you some hints. And,
can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead and take one guess, and you'll probably get it. Yeah, I don't think the cover subject is going to be much of a surprise. That said, the cover treatment, which we might be able to unveil on Monday, got a couple of last little boxes to check on that one. I think. You'll see. And then it's tied to a story in the yearbook that people are definitely going to want to read from Aaron Sorensen. There's some other really great stuff in there. We're going to start sharing a little bit of that so people can hopefully share in the excitement that we all feel knowing what's in there at this point.
Well, get the Father's Day subscription locked in. 855-3-HUSKER-HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Vogues, you do hot reads every morning, and you get Husker Nation locked and loaded for their day ahead of work with Husker Nuggets. And Athlon is out with their preseason preview with the Big Ten. And Athlon, something you and I both grew up reading, loved when it was summertime and it was the college football magazine on the grocery store rack. I mean, you snatched it up and you went home and you flipped through it, and it was a big-time get. You know, it was kind of that kickoff to summer, but yet football's around the corner. Michigan's the pick, obviously, out of the East, and some question marks about Michigan, but quarterback-wise, they seem to be in as a good a spot as they've been in a while. And Nebraska seems to be in that kind of same rarefied air with Adrian Martinez, Scott Frost, that combination year two. You wrote about the picks, the Athlon, and the profile of a division champ. And I guess as wide open as the West seems, I'm not surprised Nebraska's picked to win the West. But what's the margin? I mean, how greater is Nebraska's margin over, say, a Wisconsin or an Iowa or even a Northwestern, and Minnesota's kind of the dark horse as well? Is it just there's multiple reasons, but are the main two reasons the quarterback coach combo? I mean, is that what you think gives Nebraska the nod here in the West?
Yeah, I think that's probably it's the top reason, although maybe the easier reason to see is when you look at that group as a whole. Okay, you look at Minnesota, they're getting some dark horse buzz, but haven't really kind of been in that position before. I mean, I know PJ Fleck has at Western Michigan, mm-hmm. but when you look at Frost, you know, and for better or worse, this is a legitimate reason for optimism in some ways. You just have to be careful not taking it too far. Everyone knows what year two was at UCF, and they expect a progress for Nebraska in year two, not just because it happens at UCF, but because that kind of happens to a lot of coaches. You know, we've seen a lot of coaches make a big jump in year two. So that's not a totally invalid or faulty way to look at that. So I think those two, and then you compare the schedule against, you know, particularly what Iowa and Wisconsin draw from the East. Wisconsin's got three tough ones. Iowa's got two plus Rutgers in there. And it's part of why I think everybody looks at October 12th as potentially a big game for Nebraska and Minnesota, because they're right there in the mix. They're tough to separate out from Iowa and Wisconsin, but they have the easier schedules. And that always carries a lot of weight this time of year, because it's one of the few things you can actually point to and say, well, we think it should be this strong or this weak. So I think you add all those up, and that's why you're seeing Nebraska be a pick in a lot of places to win the West.
When you look at Nebraska, and it's not easy to win college football games. Really, it's taken for granted that you win your home games, but it's not been a guarantee for Nebraska the last several years, right? I mean, you've had maybe one or two undefeated home seasons the last 10 years, and that's something you wrote about a while back, you know, start by winning your home games. People are susceptible to lose because of the grind of the schedule, the number of games. Now, I know Nebraska's got some bye weeks mixed in, as does everybody else, and this seems on paper more easy to navigate if you're Nebraska. But when you look at Nebraska's kind of trifecta of home games, and we have more than three that are huge, but you have the Ohio State crossover element, you have Wisconsin, you have Iowa. And then Northwestern's just a mother, right? I mean, they just are a pain in Memorial Stadium to deal with. They've been very good. They've been better than good. I mean, so I look at Nebraska. Of those folks that are coming to Memorial Stadium, what's the gimme, if there is such a thing? I mean, who's the team that you think Nebraska finally vanquishes this season? Is it, it's going to be an easier breather against Northwestern? It's time to end the losing streak to Iowa and Wisconsin. You haven't beaten either of those guys in the same season, I don't think, since 2012. And then there's Ohio State. Last time Ohio State came to Memorial Stadium, Levante David went, that's my football, and things worked out okay, thanks to Rex Burkhead. Who does Nebraska get at home of those four?
Well, as much as I would like to only remember Ohio State Memorial Stadium,
okay,
by Levante David, there was also the virtually no punt game.
Okay, some of us have blacked that out with tequila and songs to be sad by in 2017. Okay, so I maybe misspoke there. The last good memory of Ohio State coming to Memorial Stadium was back in that first year of the Big Ten. Forgive me for omitting 2017, Brandon.
You don't need my forgiveness. It was just, it's so indelibly burned in my mind that I'll never forget it. anyway, I think of that group, the best bet is probably Northwestern. Even though, you know, a lot of those games have been close, like, anytime Northwestern has won, it has been close, which seems to always be the case for Northwestern, no matter who they're playing. But the two that haven't, I think, since those teams have been playing, have been Nebraska wins. And you look at the way that Nebraska kind of built a pretty nice early lead and kind of maintained it in a comfortable zone most of the time last year on the road against what would end up being the division champ. Like, I think that's the one that, quote unquote, the gimme here. Now, the point of that is that almost nothing against Northwestern is a gimme. Like, that's the genius of Pat Fitzgerald and what they do is they just don't get run out of the building very often by very many teams. So kind of take that with a grain of salt. Beyond that, Iowa is probably next on the list, and it's not going to be a gimme either, but there's so much that can happen. Like, by the end of the season, either of those teams could be, you know, operating at a totally different level from what you'd expect now. But I think Northwestern is the one where when I look at those four games, I'm kind of like, oh, a lot of toss-ups. But Northwestern's the one's like, well, if Nebraska wants to win a division, they've got to have that one. I don't see them winning the division with a loss to Northwestern, you know, unless they were to go 3-0 against the other guys.
What's the number you got to hit to be in division champion contention here? Do you got to go 3-1?
Against that group? Probably. I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to, I think, what Wisconsin does with its cross-division draw. So I might be misremembering, but I think it's Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State.
They got it. Yeah, you're right.
So that's interesting. I don't know where that Michigan State game is. Wisconsin might be a slight favorite in that. They get Michigan at home, and we've seen that already with the early lines that are out there. Michigan's still favored in that one. And then the Penn State game, you know, that might be something of a toss-up too. But it's hard to see Nebraska dropping games to both Wisconsin and Iowa and being in what looks like a very tight race. Like, those division tiebreakers, I think, are going to be big. And it would almost be more surprising if one of those didn't decide who won this, because I think you got a lot of teams that are pretty similar in terms of talent and ability. So getting those head-to-head tiebreakers could be really key.
It's almost, as we talk in June, it almost kind of feels like a playoff weekend every weekend because of how tight this West could be. I mean, Wisconsin went up to Camp Randall and won. I should say Minnesota went up to Camp Randall and won last year. Iowa's been very good against the East big dogs, okay? And Wisconsin just kind of keeps finding a way. I know they were down last year, but traditionally, Wisconsin's really good at going on the road and getting out of Dodge. I mean, they've won in Lincoln, and they've won in Iowa City. And the place they've slipped up, more times than not, if they slip up, has been at Northwestern.
Yeah, I think, you know, the question for Nebraska is not going to be, are they good enough to beat anyone on their schedule? Because I think they will be. For me, it'll be, are they good enough not to slip up somewhere along the way? And I think that's always a little bit of the danger when you're early in a coaching change, you know, in a new regime, is to get to the point where for the most part, like a Wisconsin is, where they beat all the teams they should, and they're going to, you know, for the games, which is only maybe three or four at most per year, where they might not be a favorite, they're going to be in those games too. I don't know how far Nebraska is to getting to that point, but in a wild year in the Big Ten, when I look at Nebraska, that's kind of the key for me. So even if they do go 3-1 against the four games we're talking about, then, you know, can you go and take care of business, well, at Purdue? Can you beat Indiana at home? Can you go and put Maryland away early so that one doesn't get dicey? You know, the Big Ten's tough. It doesn't get enough credit for being as tough as it is, I think, because it's not like the SEC where all of those teams are ranked at the start of the season. And you essentially get credit for the week-in and week-out meat grinder that it is. I think the Big Ten's getting closer there. And a lot of it has to do with the West kind of bringing up the rear and getting to where the East has already been.
Couple more minutes. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. And I think you nailed it from a perception standpoint. It's, you're not going to get sneezed at if you're 8-4 in the SEC because your four losses, two of them are on the road to somebody that was ranked at the time. But You look at what people think of Iowa nationally or even Purdue nationally, there's better thoughts towards those two programs, but it's really cost the conference when Iowa's gotten somebody of substance at night at Kinnick or Purdue, right? I mean, with Ohio State, right? Ohio State's been drilled the last 2 years on the road at a night game by somebody from the lowly West, and that wasn't received too well nationally in college football. But now folks are kind of trying to – they're stepping back and going, okay, surprising loss, yes, but maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought at the time just because the league's gotten better. Vogues, I want to get you out of here on this and talk some Maurice Washington. Story was out Tuesday about the drug paraphernalia, and lots been spoken about and written about, and I thought Hail Varsity did a great job between you and Jacob Padilla and Derek Peterson just kind of laying out the different situation and potential reactions with this. Where are you at with Coach Frost as far as his program and culture? I'm not condemning it at all. I'm saying, how do you think, based on what you believe and know about his culture in football and the type of guy he is, how do you think he'll proceed with Maurice Washington as far as what's his base? I mean, where's he coming from when he's looking at this, in your opinion?
Yeah, these things are always kind of tough to write and talk about, because all we know is basically the public information, the information that's out there. And, you know, so I guess I'll put it this way. If they are trying to build a culture, and I think they've made great strides in that, and some of that comes from, well, all of Frost's stops, from what he saw when he's a player at Nebraska, what he saw at Oregon, what they were able to do in quick order at UCF. You know, those all represent some pretty lofty models of how good it can be if you get that culture to where it was at those spots. And I think if that ultimately will be what decides this, is if any player is viewed as a threat to chip away at that even a little bit. And I'm not saying that Maurice Washington is by any means. Like I said, it could be any guy. Like, I think that's ultimately what determines those cases where you might have a decision to make. Is this guy on the team or is this guy not on the team? So at this point, we're still waiting for most of the information to come in before we can even get to decision time. But in my view, if I were in that position, that's what the decision would come down to me.
How much can it affect negatively everybody else, right? I mean, just having a guy like this on the team. Vogues, awesome stuff, man. It was fun to get caught up. We'll talk next week, and thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
There he is. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. And a little sneak peek of the yearbook, it sounds like, coming out maybe Monday. And that bad boy will get to the printer here, and your college football Bible from Hail Varsity will be ready and willing for you shortly. Reminder about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. You want the seatbelt or the windshield. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal producing today. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse is up next. Gary Sharp will join us here on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with your weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal. And we say hi to the Iron Horse. It is Gary Sharp. Sharpie, how's your summer, man? Good to talk to you.
How's my summer? It's finally got here. It's nice, isn't it? That's a heck of a duo you got with you today.
They are good dudes, man. Colton and Elijah. I had a couple golf outings this week, and Junior had baseball last night. I'm not proud or anything. Complete game, 8 strikeouts. So I've had a couple of days I've needed to be away, and these guys have gotten after it, man. So I'm happy, and it's a good spot. We celebrated last night, tournament this weekend in Lincoln, and the kids are playing good ball. And it's been a week of baseball. It's been a week of plenty of news, Sharpie, and you're a guy that's always been locked into Nebraska baseball. And I want to start there with just, let's go back to Monday, because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks, man, and start with Darren, kind of your bow on the Erstad era. Also, you know, what the Moose's next move is, because we know the names that are out there. We know the number one name on the list, and I want your perspective on all of it, because you're plugged into it.
Well, let's start with Darren. I mean, how cool is it that you can make a decision like that on your own, where it's time to go be father and husband? I think that's great. And, you know, Darren, this was not an easy decision, but it was a decision that he completely thought through. And I think when people look back at his biggest accomplishments at Nebraska, Schmitty, I think one of his biggest accomplishments is he took one for the team when Mike Anderson was removed by T.O. I don't think Darren wanted to be a head coach. You know, he'd just come off a playing career where he's away from his family. He had a young family, you know, wanted to spend a little time at home. He was just giving back to the university, being part of the program. And all of a sudden, he's asked by Tom Osborne to be the head baseball coach, and said yes. And maybe he didn't think in his head he'd be here for all 8 years, you know, that finally he'd get through the transition and somebody else would come in. So I think that's one of his biggest accomplishments. I don't think, and this is kind of Darren's persona, if you're around him, I don't think you ever really get to know Darren. The people that you really judge Darren on are the people that he coaches. And just see the reaction of his players when he announced on Monday that he was stepping away. I mean, that's, to some of those guys, I would say a majority of those guys on that team and in the past, Darren Erstad is their second father. So that was cool to see. I think Nebraska baseball is in a spot right now. And, you know, Bill Moose is kind of a wild card. You know what's out there, the names, the connections to Nebraska, but we don't know what Moose is going to do. We know that the salary will be a lot higher. Darren gave Nebraska a hometown discount. When your highest salary in the Big Ten is north of $400K, you're thinking Nebraska will top that, and they will go out and get the best. So all the names that are out there, you can speculate. I think Bill Moose will do the right thing, and he'll find the right fit for Big Ten Nebraska baseball. Remember, it's Big Ten baseball, and I understand that Michigan is a win away from going to the College World Series. But there are some challenges you have that you don't have in the SEC, the ACC, and in places where you can be outside of the month of February. But that won't stand in the way of Moose. I'm sure that when he gets his guy, that all of us will go, yep, that's the guy that's going to help carry Nebraska through, where you're in the NCAA tournament at least 3 out of 5 years. Once or twice every 5 years, you happen to get into a super. And every 5 to 7 years, there's that hope that you have a team put together that can get to the College World Series.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, and I think you laid out very fair expectations. I think there's a lot of trust, and deservedly so, with Moose, with how he's gone about his business and what he's done when having to make the tough choice of replacing a coach and finding the next best. And I didn't think a Hoiberg could get done. He did it. Frost, you can't put into words what that means to the football program, with one of your own coming back to do it the right way. For baseball and guys that you spent a lot of time with, that's Will Bolt, that's Coach Childress, that's that Dave Van Horn era, and those are the names that everyone wants. And the main objections are what in your mind for those two guys? I mean, what? Yes, it's A&M. Yes, it's money. Yes, it's SEC. Yes, it's weather. I've listed some objections for you, but it's also different, though, isn't it? Because of their experience for Nebraska. It's not a Frost situation per se, but it's a little similar, isn't it? Because they have such a backstory with the state of Nebraska, with the University of Nebraska.
Well, there's two guys you mentioned there, Will Bolt and Rob Childress. They absolutely love Nebraska. One's an alum. One spent a lot of time here. One still has a home outside of Lincoln where he can come back and hunt, and he just had his daughter Hannah graduate from Nebraska. So they love Nebraska. They understand Nebraska. You know, Rob wasn't here during the Big Ten era, but they understand that there's really good in-state talent, and especially pitching. I think that's where, until late in Darren's tenure, they ignored the arms in the state of Nebraska and saying, nah, people have prep kids in Nebraska can't throw. Yeah, they can. You can find pitchers here in Nebraska in the last couple of years was able to show that, yeah, you can come to Omaha, for example, and get a couple of really good Omaha arms. I think you have to understand the dynamics if you're going from, let's say, a Texas A&M, where you charter to every conference game. You have built-in advantages of recruiting in the state of Texas or in the SEC footprint. That doesn't mean you can't win here. It's just, it's not, for people comparing Big Ten basketball with everybody else and Nebraska being in the Big Ten in basketball, it's not even. The playing field in college baseball is not even at all. I mean, ask anybody in the Big Ten. That's just the way it's set up. So it doesn't mean you automatically pay a guy $800K exactly what he's making at Texas A&M, and the same things are going to happen at Nebraska. Big Ten baseball, the other major conferences, they're not on the same level. It's not the same grind week after week after week. Big Ten baseball has improved. The coaches' salaries have improved. The facilities are slowly getting better, but it's not on the same level. Tough to compare. The one thing that Moose has where in the first two hires, they were home run hires and they were kind of there for him. There's no real slam dunk home run hire that jumps out at you. And, you know, and Rob Childress would be a home run hire. You know, I would never say never on a guy like Rob because I don't know what Bruce is going to do. I don't know what Rob is thinking. I just know that Rob has a love for the state of Nebraska. And if he is consulted, you know what, he'll help out Nebraska, whether that be, hey, okay, I'll listen, or this is who you should talk to, Will Bolt, Justin Seeley, two guys that are alums of the university.
Right, and that's kind of your A and your B, isn't it? Is you make that phone call to Childress, gauge his interest, and if it's too good a situation, take his advice and move that direction. Here's what I'm wondering with Childress in the dynamics, and is A&M in love with him? And he's done well, but has he done well enough for A&M? You know that place has sky-high expectations, and no programs, for all the money they print down there, I'm talking football, basketball, and even baseball, they're not winning titles. They that's where they want to be. They want to be in that neighborhood, but they've not gotten there. They go get Jimbo. They go get the new basketball coach. And Rob's been to 14 consecutive regionals, which is insane out of the SEC, okay? He's been to two College World Series, been to six Supers. I think it's six Supers. But, okay, so you have his resume there. You have Bork come in from Mississippi. Mississippi's been a really good baseball program. His contract is still got a couple of years on it. I mean, from a timing standpoint, does this work in Nebraska's favor if they want to go down the Rob Childress road?
Well, okay, so this is where the Texas A&M fans need to shut their face. and not Lincoln I. Logan Foster, who is part of their roster. I don't know if Texas A&M fans realize that they had very little success under Buck Johnson when they were in the Big 12. Okay, they were not the beast of the Big 12. I was there. I watched Texas A&M play in the Big 12. They were not the beast of the Big 12. Nebraska was a piece of the Big 12. Rob Childress was the pitching coach for Dave Van Horn. For people that don't appreciate what Rob has been able to do in College Station, everything you just listed, remember a couple of trips to the College World Series? I mean, those people are spoiled, and they'll never be satisfied. And Rob's a Texas guy. His wife Amanda's a Texas gal. He's got a good situation there. He's paid very well. He's got great facilities. He plays in the SEC. The caveat is he just had a week where he has a brand new boss.
Yep.
So he has a new athletic director there. I think this is a vocal minority of Texas A&M fans that think they should be a lot better than they are and are spoiled, that want Rob out. I think Rob, I can tell you, Rob likes it at Texas A&M. But again, you never say never in this situation because you don't know when a conversation goes down the road what people are thinking when you automatically said, nah, they'll turn the job down. I think his name, there's just a lot of names that are out there, Schmitty. But keep in mind, I think this will start to really pick up because keep in mind that the College World Series is in Omaha starting 1 week from today. Who's all going to be in the state of Nebraska? All of the college baseball writers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking, yeah, let's make a little splash. But it makes sense to have a splash coach out while all those media people that cover the sport on a daily basis are just 45 minutes from your campus. So I think the next week will be very intriguing. But you know, you're going to hear other names like Brian O'Connor from Virginia, who has a connection to Omaha, being a Council of St. Albert grad, great national championship at Virginia. Chris Collins from Duke, who thumped Vanderbilt last night, is a name that will pop up. And I'm sure there will be others that have some kind of connection to the Midwest and some kind of connection to Nebraska, whether they be from Dallas Baptist, whether they be an assistant on Dave Van Horn's staff at Arkansas.
What's your take on Bischel out of Central Michigan?
You know, they had a great year. He has been able to recruit there, and they play the game the right way. He would be somebody that would be very Big Ten-ish, mm-hmm. that you could see having success in the Big Ten. I think in this case, it's how you look at Nebraska baseball. Are you thinking, yeah, we just want to continue to be competitive in the Big Ten, or are you literally swinging for the fences to get a name that the Kendall Rogers and the Aaron Fitz of the world go, whoa, Nebraska is serious. Nebraska is going back to treat themselves like they're still in the Big 12 in baseball.
Just gauging Moose's personality, Sharpie, he's swinging for the fence, isn't he?
Yeah, and I also think, keep in mind, that he's not a big baseball guy.
Yeah.
So he's going to rely on his sports supervisor. But I do know this for a fact. They have got plenty of interest of people that want the last, because I know coaches that are interested in this job that I've communicated with this week. They want to ask, okay, what's your indoor facility like? Check. Okay, I understand it's cold, but as long as we can go inside and hit and take ground balls and do other things, infield, outfield, we should be fine. Two, what's your roster look like, and what will the draft do to it? Check. Nebraska got through it okay. Number three, what's your pitching look like for 2020? Boom, there's a lot of young arms there. You lose your weekend rotation, but you got some young arms that you need now to develop and make the next step. Boom, check. Okay, I'm interested. I'll take care of the rest. That's kind of what I heard from a couple of guys that are trying to get to the mix for this job. Mm. So there's plenty of interest. It's just, you know, which way you want to go. Do you shoot for the 800K guy, or do you say, let's go and get that guy that is a 400K guy?
With Nebraska, and we'll get to football in a second, what do you look, when you look at Nebraska's arms, I mean, how do you see 2020 shaping up here? I know we're fast-forwarding here, but I've got to be, if I'm a Nebraska baseball fan, as good as your Friday-Saturday guys were, and at times your Sunday guy, I got to be pretty fired up with what's been middle relief and guys that are young on that roster between Gomes and Paulkert, and I'm missing some names probably, but...
Yeah,
thank you, Shenaman. I mean, those are three dudes that could be ready to step in. You could not rebuild, but reload, Sharpie, with what you got coming next year on the Hill.
Well, don't forget, you also have Kyle Perry, and you have a transfer from Purdue who sat out this year. Those guys need to develop and make the next step, develop some consistency, or in Colby Gomez's situation, is he going to be a full-time pitcher? Because I don't know that you can continue to have his bat in the lineup if he doesn't make a step there at the plate.
Right, right.
You want his glove at first, but I don't know that you can have his bat in the lineup. Can Colby develop another pitch? Can he get the fastball and add a couple of pitches to it? We already seen the fastball. What ailed him last Saturday night is he didn't have a secondary pitch. Can he get a third pitch? So those guys all have to make the next step of development. But there's enough talent there in terms of arms and enough stuff to work with that you could put together a nice weekend rotation. And we're seeing, I think whoever is named the coach of Nebraska will have a strong pitching background or at least has a strong connection to go out and spend some quality money on a pitching coach. Because of the top 24 teams in ERA this year in college baseball, 16 of them are playing in the Super Regionals this weekend. There's only 16 teams that play in the Super Regional. Mm-hmm. So, we've gone from the day and age of college baseball where they have made it more pitcher-friendly that pitching matters. And you can see you want to get to Super Regional, you got to do that. Look at Michigan, for example. Michigan's got some arms. They had two guys drafted in the draft, 74 and 77. And their arms, especially Kauffman last night against UCLA, their arms are a big reason why they are 9-inning coming to the College World Series. So I think you're going to see a pitching background. So don't we keep circling back to Childress?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. I mean, you just, yeah, we've come full circle with arms are important, development's key. Who did that? Who found in-state arms? No. Rob Childress. Who developed in-state arms? Rob Childress. I mean,
hey, I make no bones. Rob's a friend. Love Rob. I love his family. I got to see Hannah and Max grow up. It would be great. I never say never. I don't know what he is thinking, but I do know this: that if Will Bolt or Justin Seeley were highly arrested in a Nebraska job and they wanted to be a head coach at the Division I level, I don't think Rob would stand in their way. I think he would promote them over saying, hey, maybe I ought to come back to Lincoln.
The other scenario here is, and this is straight up best case scenario, but you ask Rob how much he wants a year. Rob's 50, and you gauge from him how much longer he wants to go. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 7 years. Is he ready to step away early? Does he want to go till he's 65? Get that figured out. Tell him to name his price. And then the staff comes with him. And I know Will's been paying dues for a long time, and he's phenomenal. Will Bolt's one of my favorite people, and he's a hell of a coach. And he knows the Big Ten. Could you do a coach in waiting thing? I mean, that's not a new take. I'm just talking out loud about the reality of it. I mean, you bring A&M here. That's a lot of moving parts, man. Guys want their shot. I know they do.
Not speaking for him, I think that would be difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be too. I think it would be too, because you've been, and the thing is, you know, with Will going down to A&M, part of that thought process to me was, I mean, it's home. You're not far from family and where he grew up, and you could be the guy whenever Rob decides to step down. But that's not guaranteed anymore because of the new AD, right? Not that it was ever guaranteed, but you've got that shakeup up top where a new AD will want to go with his new guy if a change is made, if a move is made, right?
Yeah, and you know any coach that's at one of your major sports on a campus, they got to have comfortability with their new boss.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's no indication that Rob is in any trouble
right,
at College
right.
Station. But there, it, you know, timing is everything. I mean, both you and I have changed jobs, and mm-hmm. it just happened to be the timing was right when a phone call came. You know, it could be that scenario. But I think it'll be fascinating when it's finally announced and the process moves forward. And you know, you'll probably start to hear a trickle of some names this week of people that are interested that maybe have interviewed, or you may just all of a sudden, it's zero dark 30, and bam, there's an announcement that there'll be a press conference on the third floor of Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, and those third floor press conferences, they've been a good time, and you could probably charge a $5 cover. I mean, just bring everybody.
You know, it's amazing. I don't know of any other athletic directors that take over in their first 2 years, essentially. They've hired the three top male sports head coaches in that time frame. And you know, that's what Moose is given the task. He's, you know, he's swung for the fences and hit a home run on the first two. And here's his chance in a sport where we talk about swinging for the fences and hitting a home run to get the next guy to lead Nebraska baseball through and to pick up what Darren has done and continue those expectations of NCAA regular season, postseason, hosting a regional at Haymarket Park and playing in the Super to be where Michigan is right now.
Sharpie, we'll let you out of here on this. It's fun to chat with you, man. Maurice Washington, that news came down on Tuesday, and we started the show off this morning. If there's just too much damage done with everything and it's time to move on, I would understand that if I'm Scott Frost. I also look at Coach Frost as a guy a lot like Coach Osborne, where he does have the kids' best long-term interest in his heart. It's not about the matchup against a linebacker to get a first down. It's is the kid going to be good human being into his 30s and 40s and have a family, you know, big picture stuff, important life stuff. And do you think Coach Frost is wrestling with the case of Maurice Washington?
I think he's disappointed. I think he's extremely disappointed. He probably knows Mo Washington more than better than anyone around. And remember, he has stuck with him. When that news came out earlier this week, it's not what I think, and I'm for 100% legalization of marijuana. It's that it's illegal in Nebraska. It's a violation of team rules. But even more than that, to me, it's poor judgment. You already have something hanging over you. Later this week in California, there will be a plea deal. So we'll get some more information on his case out there. It's just that's poor judgment. Can I trust you on third down and one inside of a 10-yard line against Ohio State in prime time the end of September to get me 1 yard and more and maybe a touchdown? Can I trust you there if I can't trust you to do the right thing and to follow team rules? I think Scott, in this situation, very disappointed. But this is where the inner walls of your culture start to take over. And we have seen some guys have been weeded out because they haven't fit in the respective rooms of their position groups. I think this is where the team kind of, they either take Bo under their wing and say, we gotta be in this together, or Bo finds out how harsh some of these guys are, that their goal this year is to get to Indianapolis to play for a Big Ten championship, and they're not going to let anything on or off the field get in the way. It'll be an interesting test case, but I think Scott has stuck with Bo. He understands Bo, but he is not happy at all about this because, first and foremost, it brings negative publicity to the University of Nebraska football program. You're in a slow news cycle, and you're at Nebraska, so anything off the field that comes out, it's going to be on the bottom line. It's going to be everywhere like it was on Tuesday.
Sharpie, have a great weekend, man. It was fun to chat. We'll get caught up again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And good insight there. A lot covered between Mo Washington, Coach Childress, Nebraska baseball. And going to ramp up this week, it sounds like, with some names and that direction. And from a sizzle, the old pirate told us, you'll get some sizzle with Bill Moose. Coach Leach has always been right about that. From a timing standpoint, you could take over and be a part of the baseball festivities with a coaching announcement right in front of the College World Series. A reminder about Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends this month. Any month, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. And through June 16th, an in-store coupon for you. Yeah, purchase anything $350 or more, and there's a $75 in-store coupon that can help lighten that load a little bit. It's graduate time. It's also Father's Day around the corner, so maybe it's time for you to go a little self-inventory. What do you need? What do you want to get your father? And Rick and your friends can help pick out that amazing timepiece for you. It's Sauter Heyman, SauterHeyman.com. Fellas, we'll be back at it next week. A reminder, can log on ESPNLincoln.com. We have the Father's Day photo contest and a chance for you to win a gift card to Wahoo Locker and, of course, our friends at Austad's $100 gift card. What you got to do is submit a picture of you and your little one and a picture of Gregeth and his little guy up there, picture of me and Carson. That's back when Carson wore Nebraska stuff, wearing his red. So can log on, get your entries, submit your pictures. Got to do so by the 13th of June, and we'll get a winner picked out for that. The Father's Day photo contest with ESPN Lincoln. Okay, what do you guys got rocking this weekend? What are you doing, Colton?
Got work tonight. Other than that, we need to clean around our apartment. So we'll see if we'll finally get that done. And try not to sweat too much.
Elijah, you're going to be taking the brunt of parents all weekend.
Yeah, I'm umpiring tomorrow. But the worst part is last night, my roommate, who's a plumber, was trying to fix our dishwasher.
Boom.
He broke our shower somehow. So I'm going to be trying to fix that today.
You need to hose off somewhere is what you're saying.
I think he needs to find a new career.
Well, but you say that, and plumbers rake, man. They do well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you put up with it. That'll do it for us. The podcast is going to be up for you shortly, and can log on hailvarsity.com for that. Get to iTunes for the podcast. Colton and Elijah on the ESPN Twitter handle will get out some of our highlights, audio highlights today from Sharpie and from Vogel. That's something you want to check out. Great stuff today. Hour one rewinds with Matt Schick on Nebraska baseball, and Jabba Chamberlain was so much fun to get caught up with this week. On Monday, we'll run down Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, and how about Phil Steele? Phil Steele going to be with us on Monday. Excited to talk to Phil, get his rundown on Nebraska, the Big Ten West, college football. Joel Makovica coming up this week. We will also be in Omaha for the Royals-Tigers on Thursday, getting you kicked off for Major League Baseball right in front of TD Ameritrade Park. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you Monday at 4 on Hail Varsity.